This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers. Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies, especially when they start really moving. Huggies has more curves and outstanding active fit. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around. Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks. So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today. We got you, baby.
This summer, click into cordless power with Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. And keep your flower beds looking fresh with the 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Then clear leaves and debris with the 40-volt leaf blower. No cords, no gas, no hassle. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at the Home Depot and on homedepot.com. How doers get more done.
O'Reilly. Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is the best of two pros and a couple Joe with LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, and Jonas Knox on Fox Sports Radio.
How the hell are we feeling here on a Monday, BQ?
Just trying to take in the draft. I mean, there's so many interesting takeaways. Obviously, after free agency, now after the draft, I think every fan out there has an idea of like where their team's at, their chance of winning a Super Bowl this year. Obviously, a lot of time until the season starts, but I got to tell you, I kind of fed off some of your enthusiasm for the draft. It's such a cool event. It's such a neat experience, even to go through it. But looking back on it now, just it's the most unique draft and event I think there is in professional sports, and no one does it better than the NFL.
It's
nobody.
Awesome. And, yeah. And I think the final tally was just under 800,000 fans.
Dude,
showed up.
Gosh, that's amazing, man.
Dude, like, that's awesome. Because you really do combine the best of both worlds. If the NFL is king and college football is second, it's the one event where they're all together at the same time, and you kind of mix both those audiences in. But just the NFL's idea on moving this thing around, and you know, going from New York and all that. And I know, you know, you guys like the tradition of New York. I've always liked the draft because it just gave everybody hope that, like, all right, we may have sucked last year, but you know, there's some hope here. And then just to see what it's turned into, when we were in Vegas for the draft a couple of years ago, you've been to a bunch of drafts, and it just to be there and to see what it's turned into from all these years later, and it just gets bigger and better every single year. And then next year, if I'm not mistaken, it's Green Bay, correct?
Yeah.
I think it's in Green Bay next year. So that's going to be pretty wild as well, too. So good times to be had at the draft. I mean, look, I would appreciate it personally if we could just skip past the whole international fan of the year reading the picks for some of these guys. That part really bothers me.
Yeah.
It really bothers. It's like these guys are supposed to take in the moment, the biggest moment of their career, of their life. They've worked so hard to get up to this point. They're going to get their name called and get drafted. And it's some goofball wearing all team uniforms. Like they had a guy who was dressed up in suspenders with a cheese hat on because he was representing the Packers. Some guy from like London or someplace like that. You got like this other guy like representing the Bears, some slob. He comes out there and like a Jack Sanborn jersey, and he starts reading off the pick in the fourth round. Like we give them games. All right, they get their games. All right, they get a few a year. We just don't need these guys walking up there looking like dummies, you know, reading off these picks because they're half in the bag. I think it's a bit insulting, to be honest with you.
So you don't think that's part of them trying to, you know, spread the game internationally, and that's part of their little, I don't know, trying to dig in to spread the game?
I mean, the draft? Isn't them getting a game enough? Do we have to reward the fans by getting up there to read these picks? you know, like somebody's going to screw something up and then it turns into like some professional wrestling event where they're calling out the opposing fan base and this and that. It's like, dude, just let these guys enjoy their moment. Can we get somebody with some credibility up there to read these picks? That's all I'm saying. Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's how you feel about it. I think what's interesting is I've never actually asked an international fan that is a fan of the NFL, like, do you watch the draft? I mean, I think we all understand they're going to watch the Super Bowl. They might even attend the game that's over in London or overseas. That's over in Europe, right? But do you actually watch the draft?
Right.
I mean, that's the next step of really getting the intrigue of it. Because it's not like, as they would say, it's not like they watch university. You know, they're not watching college football mostly. Although college football is trying to, you know, create its footprint over there.
Yeah.
Clearly, we went to Ireland last year.
Yeah.
We saw that firsthand. Are we going back this year?
I don't know. You know, we're
it doesn't seem like there's given the hoops through the jump through last year, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of momentum of us going back this year.
It's either that or maybe we're not getting invited back. You know, we could have done some damage out there and maybe
they'll save me some money. I didn't realize that damn bar. It was a great time, but it was a lot, buy a couple rounds there, it was a lot more expensive than I anticipated.
But I do appreciate the fact that If somebody offers you a beer at 10 in the morning and you say no, they look at you like you're the weirdo.
Yeah,
like,
you're the a-hole.
I do appreciate that like you're the one who's got the issue, not me having a beer or my second beer at 10 in the morning. It's you who's got the problem. It's like, okay, well, I mean, it's 2 o'clock in the morning back home. You know, it's not exactly the time I want to have a Guinness, but, you know, you have fun and you tear it up a little bit. I do, when it comes to the draft and just sort of the, you kind of pointed this out, it did feel like there's not as many guys going to the draft. Like, it did feel like there wasn't, the green room wasn't as packed. It wasn't, and I'm just wondering, with it being in Green Bay next year, is this going to, I mean, are we going to see the numbers dwindle even more? Like, maybe these places aren't quote unquote cool enough for some of these players to go get drafted there. Because if you're the guy getting drafted by the team hosting the draft, it's awesome. It's awesome. Yeah. Like Arnold for Alabama, who went and got drafted by the Lions in the first round. That was awesome. So if you're one of these guys that gets drafted by the Packers next year, they're going to roll out the red carpet and you're going to be celebrated unlike anybody else.
So let's just talk about the quarterbacks, because we had 6 go in the top 12 picks. And if I'm not mistaken, were the top 3 all at the draft?
Yes.
Caleb Williams obviously was.
Yes.
I believe Jaden Daniels was.
And Drake May was. Yeah.
And I think that has a lot to do with the fact that we anticipated all 3 of those going 1, 2, 3. You know, if you look at how the draft, even back when I'd went, you know, there was 5 of us. And I hadn't met with a team outside the top 10. And obviously all those guys went inside the top 7. So that was kind of the mold or model, if you will, is they anticipated having, you know, a group of guys they all thought were going in the top 10. And I think if you look at the quarterbacks, for example, Michael Penix Jr., who ended up going to 8, probably the biggest surprise of the draft. J.J. McCarthy, who ends up going, 10th, I think, right? The Jets traded out of that spot. And then you had the Broncos, who took Bo Nix. All 3 were somewhere else. And the reason being is there was speculation, wild speculation, over where any of them would go. So I think that lends a little bit of an understanding to being someone who's been there and who's gone through sitting in the green room and having to wait and having a camera on you, is when you do fall, like, that's what you sign up for. You sign up for the exposure to, they're going to talk about it. They're going to put you on camera. It's one of the storylines. You know, for this year, maybe it wasn't quite as big of a storyline, because if Michael Penix or Bo Nix or maybe J.J. McCarthy, if he would have dropped further than where he went, maybe people would have made a bigger story about it, but none of that really happened this year. I mean, the one that I think was most surprising to me was Spencer Rattler, who I didn't think he was going to be a first-round pick. I thought he maybe could be a second-, third-round pick. The fact that he dropped to where he did was what was really surprising, to be taken in the 5th round. That was somewhat shocking. Given his talent level and what he put on tape, I did not think he'd go that late in the draft. So it lends you a little bit of an understanding of, this is a big deal. It's a big event, and no one wants to be that guy. some of the guys are concerned or scared of being put in a position where they may be criticized, maybe on camera a lot. And that's their own prerogative, right? It's their own opportunity to do it. At the end of the day, you're just blessed to be able to have a chance to get drafted in the NFL and go play a game for your first true professional job, right? Not like the Bogey Inn or Hollister or Embassy Suites back in the day, some of my former employers before I actually got in the NFL.
Yeah, man, you working at a Hollister is just a wonderful tale. Like, that really is something. Did you get any free, like, clothes or outfits or anything like that? They give you a discount?
No, you get a discount, but that's the thing is you quickly realize after the first time when you buy, because you have to wear their clothes when you work there, they give you this really big discount. And then you realize, like, my entire paycheck just went to what I'm wearing at work. Like, it's just because you turn right back around and buy that stuff.
Oh,
so,
yeah. Yeah,
it was a terrible idea.
On the Spencer Rattler stuff, how about the crap that came out? And Ian Rappaport couldn't even, I think, understand it himself, that the reason the thought was that he would drop as far as he was, because we were talking on Friday and the Raiders were picking at 44 in the second round, and we were thinking, okay, that could be a landing spot. I think it was one of our over-unders as well, too, as to where he went. So to drop all the way down, Ian Rappaport said that he talked to a number of NFL teams, and they said the way that he was depicted and the way that he came across on the QB1 show from Netflix was part of the reason why teams wanted to potentially steer clear of him. That came out when he was 17. It was 6 years ago. And teams didn't like the way he was portrayed in QB1, and that's part of the reason why he dropped. What are we doing here?
It's obviously odd that a team, you know, you'd think that they do their due diligence to look at the player, look at who he is now.
17.
I do wonder if that was a convenient excuse, and maybe some of the teams that did do some of the work on him felt like there was still some of that at Oklahoma, felt like there was still some of that at South Carolina. It's hard to ultimately know. Obviously, that's, you know, their own team's prerogative, but that's a learning lesson, I think, for a lot of young men out there. Is everything you do is being monitored. They look at the tweets, I think they said, from these kids up through junior high. And as much as we want to scrutinize teams for that being something that made them hesitant of, you know, drafting Spencer Rattler, the second they draft Spencer Rattler and that clip comes out, the team, the coach, the general manager, they're have to talk about it. Like, that stuff's out there publicly. So that's what you're drafting when you draft him, is even though we say, oh, it's 6 years ago, is when he was 17, he's grown up, he's matured a lot since then, they're still going to have to answer for it. As much as, like, we want to fault the NFL evaluators, you know, and the front office execs and people who might have said this, we're also part of the reason for that. Like, we're just as much to blame for how we are as a society, because we bring that stuff back up. There's a never-ending search of it. So, again, I hated it for him because, again, I thought he was a really talented player, and I still think he's in a great spot if he gets his opportunity in New Orleans to see what that might look like. But these teams will comb through every little piece of information they can to try to reduce their risk of bringing in a guy that was portrayed in not a great light. And, you know, that was his choice. He was on that show, and again, I know he's grown up a lot since then, but maybe they feel like there was some of that
during
his time at Oklahoma and some of that South Carolina. We don't know what they found out. We can only speculate at this point, but it's tough for these young men to live in an era where everything you do is now scrutinized from the time you're 16, 17, moving on.
Isn't that part of the reason why you shouldn't do a reality show? Like,
that's one of the biggest... That's why the quarterbacks want to sign up for it in the Netflix series.
I want
no one to do it.
And I would want no part of that. Like, listen, you're a celebrity. All right. Brady Quinn's a celebrity. All right.
I would not consider myself that by any means. Your
wife is an Olympian, the great Alicia Sacramone. Like, I mean, you guys are tailor made to be a reality show. But no, not interested. Rather keep some of this stuff private and not have a camera follow you around. And by the way, a lot of these reality shows and the people behind the reality shows, doesn't it always end up turning into disaster? Like, oh, somebody's always got that something on you. Like, I don't know what the divorce rate or the breakup rate is on some of these reality show couples and marriages that go on television and have cameras follow them around. But it is a disaster. And Spencer Rattler just had to wait an extra day and a half because the way he was depicted when he was a teenager on a Netflix show. kind of wild, man. Like the background checks that they've done, but away we go. What would it cost? Like, how much, if somebody offered you a certain amount, what would be your number to do a reality show?
I don't know if there's a price. I mean, honestly, like, it's just the, you wouldn't want, or you'd have to have full control of editing, like all those things that, you know, no one would ever give up. You know, most of these people who do these reality TV shows, they want the final say so they can create the storylines, they can create the drama. And that's why it would just never work. I do sometimes feel like it would be beneficial to pay for a camera crew to follow my family only so we could be like, whoa, pause. All right, let's go back and watch this on replay.
Okay.
And then you actually like talk all through right. a scenario or like an argument or fight. And you're like, you know, you said I said this. No, I didn't. And you're like, no, pause. All right, let's go to the camera crew. And we go right back.
Let's go to the telestrator.
We break it back down. You're like, all right, see when you said this? Now, I'm going to fast forward a little bit here. Okay, stop. This is where you made this face. And this is where I was then like, oh, that's what, okay. Because it means something different when you say it and you say it with that face right. and with that attitude, right? And that's what really triggered me to then start arguing with you. It's, I don't know. That would be, I think, the most useful part of having a camera following you around is you could literally be able to kind of pick apart your life like that eye in the sky, like you're doing football.
And draw it out on the screen, like show yeah. with arrows and circles, and this yeah. is where it happened.
Literally have the whole team meet in the family room, have like a chalkboard up there and be like, all right, here's where we need to get better. Let's go back on the tape now.
That is a good
hit
move.
The lights.
That is a good move.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Tom Verducci from Fox Sports, MLB Network, and Sports Illustrated.
And I'm Joe Madden, and we're going to be around to talk a little bit about managerial decisions and what may have occurred in the dugout, maybe in the 1980s.
It's the Book of Joe podcast. I can't wait for this, Joe. We're going to dive into what goes on in the dugout and behind the scenes in Major League Baseball.
Cars, wine, whatever else we want to talk about.
Yeah, well, there are no boundaries, right? Listen to the Book of Joe podcast on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers. Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies, especially when they start really moving. Huggies has more curves and outstanding active fit, so no matter what kind of mover you've got, they feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around. Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks. So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today. We got you, baby.
Hey, it's Jonas Knox. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Come on, you know it. O'Reilly, who are in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Don't ignore your check engine light. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today, a free diagnostic service exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto. Do it yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/2pros. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/2pros.
What's the secret to catching prize-worthy fish in exotic waters? Learning to fish like a local with Fishing Booker. Hey, Jonas Knox here with Fishing Booker. There's only one way to turn a fishing trip of no bites into the best catch of the day, and that's with the valuable knowledge of a local guide. With FishingBooker.com, you have the world's largest booking platform of local fishing guides right at your fingertips. Use Fishing Booker's easy-to-use online booking system and discover thousands of local fishing charters from around the world ready to share their tricks of the trade. Create your perfect fishing experience and search for charters by location, species, salt versus freshwater, and more. Plus, it's smooth sailing with Fishing Booker's simple online payment method. You'll always fish with confidence when you start fishing like a local. Start your angling adventure now with Fishing Booker. Visit fishingbooker.com and book your trip today. Fishing Booker, fishing trips made easy.
right now. He is in for a special Tuesday appearance. He is the old P, Petros Papadakis. You hear him on the Petros and Money Show, which can be heard on the Blowtorch, AM 570 LA Sports, college football analyst.
You didn't do it right. What? Come on, man. Do it again.
The Blowtorch.
Nah, that wasn't good enough, man. Come on, man. Do it. Bring him in right.
The Blowtorch.
There you go.
AM 570 LA Sports. The old P. Petros, what's happening?
What are you guys doing tomorrow? You got like a 2025 mock draft going on or something?
Well, I was wondering the same thing,
Ask
bro.
Lee. Lee's moving some stuff around.
Yeah, Lee, why are we moving stuff around?
We got Kentucky Derby this week. We got a special guest, Kentucky Derby.
Yeah.
Oh, you
and
got,
I did, and I
did
want to wake Petros an extra hour early.
No, my life is collapsing.
Dang, don't say that.
No, it's all right. I've been replaced from the job I did on the Beach Life concert for like the last 6 years.
Oh, wait, no. What?
4 days out, they replaced me with a Kings cheerleader.
Oh, no.
Really?
Yep.
Wait, what?
Is she good looking?
Well, hold on.
I would assume.
Hey,
what's her name? Kylie?
Dang.
Hey, Petros, we've been promoting that thing for, what, a month?
I know.
So they took your
promotion. I texted
promotional...
them on Monday, like, hey, what's the plan this year? And they were like, well, actually.
Oh, no.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
That's all right. Yeah. Anyway, I'm here, and I'm happy to be here. What a time to be alive.
Well, listen, we do have a little bit of good news for you. I don't know if you had gotten a chance to see this, but The Athletic reported following...
I saw this.
Yeah, that, the Lakers are not only open to bringing back LeBron James on a three-year, $164 million extension, but they're open to drafting his son, Bronny. So, Petros, we play our cards right here. Screw beach life. We got Bronny life for the next
Who needs UCLA
future.
Or USC when you got the Lakers? You
know? How bad it, P?
Every day I wake up, I lose another job. I used to have so many jobs.
Dang. You're Jamaican.
I used to be. Now I'm more like a Trinidadian.
I got tree jobs.
You only got tree jobs.
I got tree jobs.
I have to say, I did just wake up to that, too. I saw it in Bleacher Report that the Lakers were open, quote unquote, to doing all these things. And it's just like somebody gave the King another big macro dose of Cialis, and he's going to continue to nail us here in L.A. We've been getting nailed by the King here for years, and it's pretty – I have to say, people aren't going to be into this. And I'm not – by people, I just don't mean like bitter, angry, aging radio types like myself. I mean Laker fans, people that really actually care about this team. This is not going to go over well if they try to do this. I understand the marketability of having LeBron and what else are you going to do, and we got to milk it for as long as we can. Kind of similar to the end of Kobe's career, which was marred with injury and first-round exits and all those different things that we kind of don't remember anymore. But I saw that report, and it was like, man, that is a punch to the stomach.
Did you hear his post-game? Afterwards, his walk-off.
No, it was so late. I mean, I went to bed.
Okay, so if you want to hear it, it's about 10 seconds. I believe this was Dan Wojcicki who was asking him the question.
Oh, old Wojcicki?
Yeah, and so he asked him the question, and this is how it sounded before LeBron James walked off.
Tonight, was there any thought at all that, you know, this could have been your last game with the Lakers?
I'm not going to answer that. Appreciate it.
And that's
just
it.
Basketball, guys.
Yeah, that's it. He's
just
gone.
Basketball.
I don't know if I want to answer that it's just basketball yet. You know, maybe I'll wait for that, Petro.
He's a great player. There's no doubt. He's one of the all-time greats. It can't be argued with. But, man, what a confounding person to cover. And the great thing word. Is like we're not – none of us are this dumb. But LeBron probably is, and we all just kind of go along with it. Like, okay, whatever you say. Like, it is amazing. And I'm sorry that I never felt this way when he was in Cleveland and Miami, and people would say, no, 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 this guy is all the weird subtweeting and all that stuff. This guy, it's insufferable. And it truly is. It truly is. So good luck to the Lakers. We usually have Jeannie Buss come out every summer to one of our events, you know, on our summer thing that we do. And, you know, we just kind of grin and bear it and be like, hey, so, yeah, you're getting married to Jay Moore. Okay, great. You know, like, we, you know, we just tell her everything's awesome. I don't know what I'm going to do this summer.
Dang.
You know, if they bring LeBron back and draft Bronny, like, how am I going to be like, hey, welcome to the show, G? You know, like, I mean, I don't care. It's funny for all of us, but if I was a Laker fan, and I know there's a lot out there, if you thought Kobe was polarizing, which he was, people don't realize that, but Kobe was probably the most polarizing basketball player in the history of basketball before this guy. And he happens to be here in L.A., and unlike Kobe, he's not a lifetime Laker or anything like that. And we talk about it. All those things, they kind of become unsavory. And it all started when he arrived in town and said he was going to show up at a Blaze Pizza, and he never showed.
Yep.
A couple thousand people came out there ready to see the king, and what did they get to see? Nothing but the blight that we live amongst all the time here in the city of Los Angeles. Dang. Nothing.
Yeah, but he did tweet a photo of him in a swimming pool at the time those fans were waiting in the sun to see him at Blaze.
Yeah, he's got a great finger on the pulse of what people want.
Hand on the shaft.
Yeah, he really does. He's got a hand on the shaft of the remote control of the world.
Dang.
We're getting nailed by the king, Brady. You ought to come out to L.A. It feels great.
Okay. I try to, yeah, well, we have to wear a mask on while that happens, so I try to avoid that. I'm not sure really where to go from here. I wanted to stay on the topic of the Lakers only because I guess it's like,
About Bronny?
Well, not so much even Bronny. Just like, what are they selling? Like, I actually think the Clippers are a more
Well, they have a new arena.
Well, that too.
New arena is going to open up next year, and they got more toilets than anybody in the history of the world.
Dang, sweet.
Now, why is that? Is that because all the vegan
Wilson's old house?
Is that because all the vegan diets out there? All those acai bowls people are eating.
What they've done to? I thought that was spelled acai.
Acai. What? How are you
joking? It's a joke. You were right.
I just know people are spraying it like a fire hose after those things.
Jeez.
So a defecation joke?
Yeah, it was.
Is that the direction you wanted to take?
That's what
grow up, Petros.
Well, I guess I said
grow up, Petros. I didn't say that.
Yeah, grow up. Thanks.
Oh.
Listen, they're opening a new arena in Inglewood. Everybody knows that. The thing that bothers me about it is now that there's like these two big arenas in Inglewood and they reopen the Forum as a concert venue, do you know they've closed 7 schools in Inglewood?
Then, really?
They're closing Morningside High, and Morningside High School is where Byron Scott and Lisa Leslie, Jim Herrick was the coach there, before he went to Pepperdine. Now, I don't under the financial situation and how they've been mismanaged or whatever they've been doing in Inglewood over the years. That's part of the argument, but really, what the argument is, from what I understand, is now that all these places have gone to Inglewood and they've kind of revitalized the community in a certain way, if you look at it like that, where they scoop all the hobos out and stuff when they have the Super Bowl to act like there's no hobos there, they closed 7 schools because the property's so valuable now. And they can sell the property. Dude, they closed 7 schools for kids in Inglewood. So it's kind of hard to be like, yeah, I can't wait for this new Clipper arena. It reminds me of that story. And Morningside High is the most recognizable one because it's a high school. But the rest are like middle schools and junior highs and stuff. And it's all BS because they're changing that whole city around because the Clippers are showing up. But, hey, toilets.
I mean, as long as they don't touch Randy's Donuts, I think that's really the most important thing of all this.
If Randy's Donuts becomes a Krispy Kreme, then...
Yikes.
We really got nailed
There's
by the
There's no candy. Hope left. Can I ask one question before we let you go? Or at least, I don't know, maybe another question after. But what was your opinion on your boy Caleb getting drafted? I mean, you know.
A long-distance call from a mystery blonde. I mean, he was getting like there was it would have been a shock if he wasn't right.
Yes, it would have.
Yeah. I mean, I find the draft interesting later, you know, usually around the time the second round starts, because like that's when people I covered a bunch get drafted. Right. Like weird players like that tight end from Kansas State, you know, people like that. And that's cool. I'm always excited to see how that plays out because it's less predictable, and that's kind of where my football expertise lies. But in the first round, I mean, you guys got drafted. You guys went through the process. You understand so much more about it, and that's why your show's so valuable, especially around this time of year, because you can talk about what it's like. I don't think people realize what a difficult thing it is, whether you're Caleb Williams, who seems to have a great deal of confidence, or anybody. The draft is a really weird time because being on a football team is like you're always protected, right, in a certain kind of way, by the pads, by your teammates, by the tunnel, by the sideline. You're always kind of insulated. And when you get done playing football, no matter if you're going to be the number one pick on the draft, you don't have that team anymore. You've been spit out, and you're now an individual, and you're just out there kind of floating in space. And I guess these guys deal with it a lot more nowadays with the transfer portal and kind of the way individuals have been celebrated more in the sport. But I always think about that. Like, these are really young people, and it's a very lonely time. And everybody, as you can see in their family and their periphery and their girlfriend, everybody's trying to be close to them in that moment. And that part of it is kind of an interesting social experiment to watch. But for me, it's more interesting kind of down the line where the guys start getting drafted, second, third, fourth round. But you guys have dealt with it a lot more, that weird kind of feeling in the draft. And I just can't believe so many people show up to see somebody's name get called and to boo the governor of Michigan. Right. It's like, like 700,000 people showed up for that. Like, hey, we're the Denver people. We wear big Denver hats. It's like, like, did the NFL place you there? Do they give you the sign? Like,
right. No, people love football, man.
I get it, but it's not football.
They love it.
But it's not football.
They're not getting nailed by the king.
No, you're right. You're not getting nailed by the king.
Somebody is.
Yeah.
Petros.
Petros is the rest of today. Petros, you enjoy the rest of your day.
Yeah, you're going to get nailed, P.
Yeah.
That's good. Bent over a barrel, P. Petros.
Whoa. I have a new oil that I'm using. It's like a CBD oil so as opposed to the KY.
Take that. Yeah.
It's called Grandma Curl. Yeah.
Get you some. For the king.
Get him on Twitter, at the old P. We appreciate it. We'll do it again next week, Petros.
Love you, old P.
Hey, how sad did Joe Alt's girlfriend look?
Does she look sad?
By the way, is it me or did he get up and like hug everyone awkwardly? Or when you're that big, do you just look awkward? If that
I had him on the show, he seemed pretty. I was like, "You're not going to go Hollywood, are you, Joe? You're not going to stop wearing that quarter zip."
What would he say?
No, sir. This is who I am, and I am I'm a play right tackle.
No, sir. No, sir.
Look at you already making fun of the Notre Dame guy.
I love him.
Petros.
Wake up the echoes.
Well, there are going to be some echoes being waked up when the king is nailing you today, buddy.
Yeah.
Would you stop you're with the getting nailed by the king?
Yeah.
Enough. I've been saying it for two years. It's like you're like the guy in the 80s that just figured out where's the beef.
Oh, no.
Saying it over and over again.
You know where it is.
Hey, where's the beef, P? Where's the beef? Yeah, where's the beef?
You know exactly where it is.
Yeah. It's swinging from the king.
Come out and play.
We'll see you, Petros. There he is, the great Petros Papadakis.
He's the best. He's the best.
Can't stop, won't stop.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers. Listen. Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies, especially when they start really moving. Huggies has more curves and outstanding active fit, so no matter what kind of mover you've got, they feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around. Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks. So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today. We got you, baby.
Hey, it's Jonas Knox. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Come on, you know it.
O'Reilly, who are in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Don't ignore your check engine light. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today, a free diagnostic service exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto. Do it yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/2pros. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/2pros. What's the secret to catching prize-worthy fish in exotic waters? Learning to fish like a local with Fishing Booker. Hey, Jonas Knox here with Fishing Booker. There's only one way to turn a fishing trip of no bites into the best catch of the day, and that's with the valuable knowledge of a local guide. With FishingBooker.com, you have the world's largest booking platform of local fishing guides right at your fingertips. Use Fishing Booker's easy-to-use online booking system and discover thousands of local fishing charters from around the world ready to share their tricks of the trade. Create your perfect fishing experience and search for charters by location, species, salt versus freshwater, and more. Plus, it's smooth sailing with Fishing Booker's simple online payment method. You'll always fish with confidence when you start fishing like a local. Start your angling adventure now with Fishing Booker. Visit fishingbooker.com and book your trip today. Fishing Booker, fishing trips made easy.
What does it mean by the footprint looks like he's a big fellow? What does that mean?
You're asking the wrong guy.
Oh.
Fargo.
What does that mean, though?
Well, she's a detective, and he looks like a big fella by the size of his feet. Okay. Yeah, she's hunting him down.
So he's a big fella.
That is correct.
All right.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll take it. I didn't know if it was really a compliment or not.
Yeah.
All right.
I'd take it, too. I just wouldn't believe it.
Dang.
Damn. Two pros and a cup of Joe, Fox Sports Radio.
Do vampires have footprints?
Good question.
Well, they don't have reflections, but
they don't have reflections.
What do you mean?
Vampires don't have reflections.
Look, you can't see yourself in the mirror. Look where Eddie is.
That's a good point. Over there. That is a good point. What's your problem, Lorena?
Dang.
That was hilarious.
Damn.
Dang. Thank you.
Why can't they see their reflection? I don't get it. What's the, why they?
Yeah, right?
Gosh.
Why can't you people see yourselves?
I think it's because they have no soul.
Dang.
Well, I mean, that is true.
Is that what it, I mean, you do watch Charmed. Oof. You would have the answer.
Yeah.
Dang. You don't have a reflection if you don't have a soul?
Yeah, you got it right.
Ding, ding, ding.
Dang.
Damn. That sucks.
How do you not have a soul? What do they have then? What's their life force?
I mean,
come on, Lorena.
I thought their life source is blood. They have to, you know.
This is how it goes. Your life source is blood when you have a soul.
The old argument goes that bloodsuckers exist in two worlds, the living and the dead. But since neither is fully in one or the other, that's why they don't have a reflection.
And why don't you get off my Wikipedia page, Lee?
So where do you go when you're not here, like in the living world? What is the other side look like?
Well, I have just a quick question, though. So that would mean that, you know, don't have a mirror, because what's the point?
Well, they say vampires don't have – that's how you know if you're in a vampire's house.
Because you can tell by – look at the hole in my sweats.
I'm not going to do that.
No, I'm not saying that.
No, I'm not going to look at it.
Come on, your eyes aren't that good. Yeah. Look at the holes in my sweats, and also look at my shoes. You can tell I don't look at the mirror before I leave, so otherwise I wouldn't be wearing those beaters. But, yeah, so I guess it does make sense.
Try to lure me down the hole in his sweats pocket. I don't think so, Jonas. Yeah. It's a good try, though.
I know what you're doing, Johnson.
You show holes in your pocket, don't you?
Well, listen, it is LeVar Arrington and Jonas Knox with you. No Brady Quinn. He'll be back on Monday. Sticks and I will take you all the way up until the end of this hour, 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Pacific, and we do so live from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com will help you get there an unmatched selection, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, and over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. All right, so kind of a bad look for fan bases in the world of sports last night. We talked about the Pat Beverley situation. For those of you that are just tuning in, Pat Beverley, who plays for the Milwaukee Bucks.
He shot a ball upside a girl's head.
Yeah, and he's on his 13th team in like the last hour. And Pat Bev decided to throw a ball at somebody in the crowd following Milwaukee's, or while Milwaukee was getting wiped out. And it hit a woman who had nothing to do with the altercation in the side of the head.
Dang.
Then he got the ball back and threw it again.
Nobody wants to get randomly hit upside the head with a man's balls.
No, definitely not.
It's not, doesn't make sense.
No, I mean, listen, you know, there's something for everybody.
If you're throwing your balls, you usually should generally make sure that there's like, you know, you guys got a good agreement going on there if you're going to throw them.
Well,
you know,
said. What I
mean? Yeah, otherwise, like randomly thrown, like in the hitting people, you could get in trouble. I'm just curious as to how much trouble he may get into, you know, outside of like it being an NBA issue. This could be outside matter, right?
Now,
like she might have filed a report against him or something.
I would have said this, because if you go back and watch the video where Pat Beverley throws the first ball and it hits her in the side of the head, she started laughing after it happened. If that was me, I would have gone into convulsions.
Right, exactly.
Just like, I mean,
drop,
immediately.
Right,
yeah,
then and
like,
there. Drop.
Like there was a lightning bolt coming through the top of the roof hitting me and just evaporating my soul. Like that's what I would have done. But, you know, she decided to laugh. So maybe that's going to
I would have dropped and I would have made sure I fell and hit myself off of a chair.
Right.
Like I'm trying to go for blood.
And any,
like, don't y'all break my fall. I'm going down.
Any pre-existing injury that I had, but I couldn't afford surgery
on. I'm bringing it to the table.
Yeah, I'm holding it. Like, so if I've got a bum hip and a ball hits me in the side of the head, I'm holding my hip and head at the same time. That way I can get that surgery paid for. But she didn't. She laughed. So she screwed up, missed opportunity, probably a lot of money. Pat Beverley decided to, he didn't want to talk to a reporter who didn't subscribe to his podcast after the game.
She was sitting
so
fairly close
look.
Where he could just lob it and pop her upside the head. Yeah. So she might not be doing bad in life anyway.
Yeah. Well, so Patrick Beverley, not great. We'll see what happens, what the punishment looks like for him. Here's the fan bases that I think need to be called into question. All right. First and foremost, the New York Knicks. Now, the New York Knicks fan base, they took over Philly. They showed up there. They were very loud, very boisterous, and we're going to have more on that coming up here shortly. But they were not very nice to somebody who was in attendance watching the 76ers-Knicks game, and that somebody was your guy, Saquon Barkley.
Hmm. Oh,
apparently, Knicks fans that were in attendance let him have it while Saquon was sitting there watching the game.
Well, that's dumb.
So he took to social media and said, quote, "It's been 2 months. LOL, no way you could still be this mad. Mother effer can't even go to a basketball game." Now, he didn't say mother effer. He wrote MF, so I'm going to assume that means mother effer. But he can't even go to a basketball game. Now, someone responded to Saquon Barkley and said this, something about, you know, you left New York, you went to Philly. And so Saquon wrote back, quote, "Let me educate some of you fans here. I can't bail or become a trader if I never got an offer to come back.
There you go. Thank you.
So I went to the organization I felt was best, and after already being here for a month, man, I'm excited to be an Eagle. Go Birds." He's right.
You can't be mad at that. You can't be mad at him.
He's right.
They had every opportunity to keep him in New York. He said he wanted to stay in New York.
He even came back and took the deal last year and missed no time. Like, it's not like he held out or missed practices.
I can guarantee you those people, that segment of people that did that, they don't represent the entire Giants fan base. They don't. Because the people that know, they know. And if you're ignorant enough to not know the details of why Saquon isn't in New York anymore, once he's not in New York over the reasons he's not in New York for, You don't have any grounds to be upset with him if he goes to a divisional rival, a divisional opponent.
And also, if you want to bitch and moan about Saquon Barkley leaving,
okay. All right.
If you want to bitch and moan about Saquon Barkley leaving New York and going to Philly, dude, bitch and moan at your organization for picking Daniel Jones over him.
Dang.
Why? Like they chose him
and still got him coming back.
Yeah, like so the idea that it's Saquon Barkley's fault for leaving and going somewhere else, like. They had multiple opportunities to give him an offer or to make him feel like he wanted. And I'll bet if you were to say to Saquon Barkley, he would tell you, I wanted to stay. Like, I wanted to be in New York. He seems like the type of guy who doesn't want to just leave and up and go somewhere. Like, he tried to make it work. He performed well the past couple of years. Yes, there were injuries early in his career, but he performed well, and it wasn't exactly the most stable organization. And you never heard him complain publicly about the organization or anything like that. He was disappointed not to get a new deal, but he came back. He honored the contract. He performed last year, unlike Daniel Jones. And yet Daniel Jones is the guy coming back because the organization made a choice. So that's not his fault.
At the organization.
Yeah, like that, not his fault at all. So,
and you know, he's from PA. Hello. He's from PA.
He was yours before theirs.
He was ours. He was ours. You know, and I'm pretty certain he's from that side of the state. I'm pretty certain.
Would have been pretty sweet if he went to the Steelers, though.
No.
The Steelers? Because
he's not from the west side. He's from the east side, I believe. Saquon Barkley. Let's see.
Yeah.
I'm pretty certain he's from the eastern side of the state. But he might have been born in New Jersey. Yeah, he was born in New York. But he grew up in Whitehall Township, which I do believe Whitehall is on the other side, region eastern. Yeah, the eastern region. Yep.
So
he's actually, he probably grew up a Philadelphia Eagles fan. He grew up in the Philly side of the state. So
yeah,
you can't have a problem with if a kid doesn't get, and he's a man, but I just use kid for the sake of saying kid. If the kid has the opportunity to have a choice because he was shunned from the organization that he wanted to stay with, and now he's basically, in essence, a free agent, and he chooses his home, and his home happens, there's not like there's another team in Philadelphia that he could choose that's home, right? It's not like, oh, I went back to New York. I chose between the Jets and the Giants. One's an NFC team, one's an AFC team, and one isn't in the other one's division. Like, okay, it wasn't that you don't have that type of option. So if that man chose to go back home for one reason or another, whatever that reason is, first of all, whatever that reason is no longer of anyone's business anyway. Like, you don't have to get upset over what his reasoning is of whatever team that chose him, that he chose, that he's playing for.
Okay, you know Saquon Barkley. You've known him for a long time. Do you believe, if he, in a perfect world, he would have stayed?
He'd still be a New York Giant, yeah. 100%.
So, again, this isn't on him.
No.
Like,
and I mean, if you don't have your head up your own ass, take your head out your ass and put it back on the lower part of your back. If it isn't up your own ass, then you would know that by everything that he has said through the years of him being a New York Giant, that he wanted to stay a New York Giant. The dude was fighting to get a deal. The dude took a deal that wasn't even a favorable deal just so he could get back into camp. People don't remember that, though. You don't flip and remember that,
and,
do you? Huh?
Miss no
he
time.
Made concessions to make sure that he was doing what was best for the team. You don't remember that. What you want to remember is he's going to whoop your ass. That's what you're going to remember. He's going to whoop your team's ass twice a year. So if you want to be upset at the people who let him go. Don't be upset at him. Yeah. Stupid.
So not a good look for the New York Giants fan base, but to be expected, they're a little bit bitter about how that all went down.
Well, I mean, they're a little bit bitter about how things have been going down lately.
Yeah.
Hasn't been good, I'll tell you that.
But it also isn't good for the Philadelphia fan base.
Uh-oh.
And I say all that to say this.
Uh-oh.
The 76ers owners having to buy up tickets because they were so upset that the Knicks fans took over the previous game there and were chanting F Embiid. So the Sixers owners go on this campaign to buy up tickets because we can't be outnumbered in our own building. Dude, if you didn't throw together a crap product throughout the course of the season at certain points, and if the fan base wasn't disappointed in the performance of the team through the course of the season, then maybe they would have shown up and outnumbered the New York Knicks fans. And if you're an owner, what do you care? If you have visiting fans that are coming in there, they're going to spend money. It's not like they're coming in there for free on freebie tickets they got at a Dollar Tree because they bought two bottles of Windex and they got a third for it. Come on. What are we talking about here? So you're going to go on this campaign. We got to make sure that we have our fans are going to show up and outnumber theirs. They did everything they could. And I don't know about
Doesn't
you.
Doesn't that defeat the purpose of it all?
Yeah. Like, I don't know about you, but I'm looking at that game last night and I'm listening. It sure seemed like there were a lot of Knicks fans that were there. Like, they still showed up, so much so that they let Saquon Barkley know, and he had to go to social media that they weren't happy that he left New York to go to Philly. Jeez. So it's kind of a weird thing when teams get upset about opposing fans. Like, when they go, we need a real home field advantage, and the owner, and then they'll make it to where you have to be a local resident to purchase tickets, or you can't be from outside the state to purchase tickets. What do you care? Like, if I'm one of the local businesses in town, I'd rather have an opposing fan come to town because they're going to show up and they're going to realize, hey, if I'm coming to town, I'm going to spend a little bit of money while I'm out. So let's go out. Let's go to the bars. Let's go to the restaurants. I hate when teams do this crap where they try and shut out opposing fans. The fans should have no impact on the game. It was a great environment to watch basketball in, and whether it was a 50-50 split or 75-25 or whatever, it was a great environment, and it made the owners and the Philadelphia fan base.
That might be the reason why they weren't able to rally and win the game.
Right.
You know, yeah. There might have been moments in time where the crowd participation maybe impacted the way the game's outcome, you know, eventually ended up being.
Yeah.
I mean, it's possible.
I mean, and never mind the fact that Joel Embiid's
hostile environment. Yeah, but those hostile vibrations, those mean vibrations were hitting Joel Embiid's knee, his injured knee.
Yeah.
And that was a problem.
Yeah. I mean, Joel Embiid's knee looked like a Halloween costume, but it was the fans that had the real impact on the game. You know, it had nothing to do with the fact that, you know, Tyrese Maxey, who's been great all series, you know, had a little bit of a disappointing performance or anything like that. It had everything to do with the fact that Knicks fans were being mean to Joel Embiid, and the 76ers were not happy about it. Like, dude, if you're the NBA, you want more rivalries like this. This is like how it was back in the day. You know, and by the way, how far away is Philly from Manhattan? Like, what would you say? Philly to Manhattan. You could take a train there, right?
Yes.
What, like an hour
and
a half?
You could walk from Philly to New York.
Lee, can we see that? Is it really? That's it?
Yeah.
See, that's what they need.
Walk there.
Yeah, that's what you need. You need some real rivalries, and if you're 97 miles away.
It's a real rivalry.
Yeah, good.
The Eagles and the Giants hate each other.
Phillies, Mets, same thing.
Do they hate each other?
Yeah, of course.
Well, they hate each other.
Good.
Football-wise, they hate each other.
Needed some spice put back into the NBA a little bit. So, good for them. Also, by the way, this is important. It's a Football Friday.
All right. Okay.
You know we're finally here, right?
You know we're here.
Yeah. It's Friday. It's Friday.
I'm just saying, this is the one that we got to go with. We got to run with this one. Here we go! Friday night! Yeah! Football Friday!
Rock up! Suck up! Play it! Throw it! Spike it! You can feel it!
Football Friday!
It is a Football Friday here on Two Pros and a Cup of Joe on FSR.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers. Listen. Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies, especially when they start really moving. Huggies has more curves and outstanding active fit, so no matter what kind of mover you've got, they feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around. Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks. So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today. We got you, baby.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly.
Check engine light on. Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at highthenumber5casino.com.
High Five Casino.